Oh man, I tell you, a lot going on right now in the world, isn't there?
Yes.
If you've been paying attention, I tell you, this what's going on overseas right now should make you wake up. I'm telling you. And I was up late last night. You know, I was kind of following along with what Iran was doing, you know, against Israel, and I was up early this morning, and I had been working on a message, and like many times, God's like, you know, I want you to go a different direction this morning. And so I tell you, I couldn't hardly sleep last night. It's like I was in prayer. God put me in prayer almost all night last night. And I tell you, you know, I'm not going to tell you that happens all the time, you know, but there are some times, and I know that Brother Keeley can probably tell you the same thing. There's times where God will put something on your heart. And so I know there's many Christians out there that are waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. We hear about it a lot. There's a lot of things that we don't understand. We do not know the time. We do not know the day. And if anybody tells you they do, they're wrong, because the Bible clearly tells us, Jesus told his disciples, I don't know. Only my Father does. The angels don't know. Only my Father knows. But he said, but. I like that when God says that. When it says that in the Bible, you need to pay attention. But not that many, I tell you, people are watching for the return. They're waiting, but they're not watching. The Bible doesn't teach us to wait around. The Bible tells us to watch for his return. We got to watch. We got to, you know, there's a difference between waiting and watching. You know that? Would you rather have someone on guard duty who simply is waiting for the enemy to show up, or someone on guard duty who is watching to see if the enemy's coming? Think about that. What happens? The difference between waiting and watching, it could mean the difference between life and death. It could. And what happens when we wait too long is we become impatient, and we become complacent, and we lose interest in what we're waiting for. And the Bible teaches us that we are to be wide awake, watching for the return of Jesus, not just waiting for it. Amen. And those who watch for it will keep themselves alert and self-controlled as well. And though simply waiting may slip into a culture of unrighteousness and behavior, and or unrighteous behavior, and let their priorities, even to the church and Jesus Christ, slip away from them. And we see that happening so much right now. 2 Timothy 4:8 says this, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And hear that. Love his appearing. There's going to be people, when the trumpets sound and Christ appears, they're going to be terrified because they weren't expecting it. They weren't ready for it. But we who believe should be watching and should be ready. I'm excited about what's going on in the world right now. You may say, wow, why are you so excited? Because what I see happening right now is all being fulfilled. It's Scripture being fulfilled right in front of our eyes. And that means when these things happen, it means that Christ's return is nearer now than ever. I don't know when that is. I hope I see it in my lifetime. And the signs show that it will. But we still don't know. We need to be ready. We need the need for alertness is this. 1 Thessalonians 5:1. And I think I have that up there. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Why do we need to have a watchful attitude? The Bible tells us that it will be perilous times, and the momentum of evil things and practices will and are in front of us, getting worse. And if we're not on guard, we might allow ourselves to slip slowly away from a firm commitment to Christ. And that's happening right now. And we see so many people that have no concern for the church or righteous living. None whatsoever. And Paul's point in saying that Jesus will come like a thief in the night is to emphasize how those outside of Christ will be caught off guard. But for the unbelievers, they'll be caught off guard by Christ's coming. They'll be terrified at that time. But for those who are watching for Christ's return, it will be a great surprise. It'll be a wonderful thing. It shouldn't scare us. Paul describes these last days in his letter to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 7. I didn't have this one up, but they will be terrible times. People will be lovers of self. Money will be more important. Boastfulness, they'll be proud. Boy, we see some proud people, don't we? Abusive. Disobedient to parents. Kids, listen. Ungrateful. Unholy. Without love. Unforgiving. Slanderous. Without self-control. Brutal, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Everything is more important than church. Everything's more important than God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. People attend churches all over the world right now but really have no relationship with Christ at all. They go through the motions. It's a social club. It says they'll have depraved minds. I listen to this stuff. You watch any of the news and you see all this stuff right here. It reminds me of CNN or, The View or something like that. But let me tell you, it's just a thought, okay? When Jesus comes back, they'll be more terrified of that than they will be of Donald Trump becoming president, for sure. It seems like they're just terrified of that, don't they? It's amazing. And now, whether you like him or not, the point is how it's just a big mess, isn't it? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3, it says, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh on them, and travail upon a woman with child, like as a woman with child, and they shall not escape it." And that illustration there of a woman in labor is to illustrate the fact that the return of Christ is in fact certainty. You know, when a lady's pregnant, at some point, that baby's coming out, right? And when...
But there will be people. There's people here that just don't have a care about what's going on in the world. Long as, I mean, they don't care at all. They're just content with what they, with life. You know, the world will be caught up. They'll be caught off guard. And according to Mark chapter 13, we as God's people are called upon a number of times in the passage concerning the future to be watching. You hear me? To be alert, to not be deceived. And I preached about that not too long ago. Christians should never be lulled into contentment. You know, the disciples asked Jesus that same question, when will these things happen? I mentioned that earlier. 2,000 years ago, they were like, when's this going to happen? Jesus is like, well, we don't know the times and hour, but these things are going to happen. You're going to see these signs, and guess what? It will happen. And they're like, oh, okay. And they preached the gospel until they went on. And you know, but there's this nature of alertness that we should have. We go back to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of the light and the children of the day. And we are not of the night, nor of darkness. And therefore, let us not sleep as do others. You know, we're not in darkness, meaning that we're not without understanding. We understand. We believe that Jesus tells the truth, right? God is God, and He said, I'm going to come back. We believe that. He said, these things will happen, and guess what? A lot of things have already happened. Most scholars believe right now that there is no other scripture that needs to be fulfilled before Christ comes. It's all been fulfilled. And when we see the things happening right now in Israel with Iran, which is the old biblical Persia, right? We see Russia, and we see these countries around Russia all pointing towards Israel. That's all coming together is soon, someday, they're going to all come against Israel. Gog and Magog and all that stuff up there. When you read Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, you see all those things. And in Revelation, when it starts in the letters to the seven churches, say the church, this is the way it's going to be during this time. And then you move on to the next chapter, and it says these things are going to happen. And we see all these things coming together right now in front of our eyes. We're not in the dark about this thing. And it won't be a surprise to those watching for Christ's return. And we expect it. I'm anxious. I'm excited about what's to come. And the world sees the church. You know, I kind of picture this. You know the story about the sky is falling. You know, where the church has been talking about Jesus coming back for thousands of years. And I think there's a lot of people in this world, wow, you've been saying that forever. I don't buy that. People in church will say, well, you know, we've been talking about that. They go on and they live their life. And they have no concern. They have no expectation of that. And you know, or like the boy that cried wolf. But just like that, one of these days, it's going to happen. Yes. And those people that denied that fact are going to go, oh, I didn't think that was really going to happen. But unfortunately, for some, it's going to be too late. Because they're asleep. But we're not asleep. We're not supposed to be. We're not supposed to be like the world. We need to be alert. We need to be alert. That means to be mentally sharp. Mentally sharp. Now, I struggle with that. I do. This means being knowledgeable about the enemy. We have to know. Understanding warfare, alert to dangers, planning for the future. Those who simply wait for the future are not alert to the issues of the day. And those who are watching out for the future are alert to the need now to be ready for tomorrow. You hear me?
Amen.
And why should we need to be ready for tomorrow? Because I'll tell you what, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We know that our life is precious to us. Our families are precious to us. But let me tell you, my life could be over the next time I get in my car and drive down the road. It's not guaranteed. I don't know. I don't know about tomorrow, but I do know that if something happens to me, I know where I'm going because of who I believe and where I put my faith, who I trust, because I'm ready.
Amen.
I'm ready. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6 is, "But let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation."
Amen.
Amen. And those that are really watching and not just waiting are usually those who are self-controlled. Boy, we see a lot of out-of-control people today, don't we? Wow. They know the seriousness we do of the coming future, and that's why we are watching. Amen?
Amen.
That's why we're not just waiting. Sleep and drunkenness is the lack of self-control, isn't it?
Yep.
It's exactly what it is. God's people need to be alert mentally, and we need to be self-controlled, and it's the ability to not only know what is right and wrong, but the ability to do what is right and wrong and avoid doing what is wrong. You hear me? That's a choice that we make. That's the free will that God gave us. I can make a choice to put on green socks or gray socks or white socks, right? I can choose to serve God or not serve God. I can choose to get drunk or I can choose not to get drunk. It's the same thing. We must guard ourselves against the influences of this world. And for many Christians, they feel good about, you know, what I find is they tend to feel good about the little failings, the shortcomings. And they only worry about those big things. And the big things bother me, but the little things I can kind of shrug those off. But let me tell you, the smaller things are just as serious as the big things. And they can be just as damaging, and they can do much damage to your life. We tend to be off guard about those little things. Oh, it's just a little lie. Didn't really hurt anybody. Or it's just a little deceiving. Or if it's, you know, you name it. There's so many things. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do." Why stay alert or self-controlled? Why? Because we have not been appointed for wrath. Hear me? We are not children of the dark, but of the light. Praise God. God has prepared something better for us than what we have now. And I hope that you believe that. Because that's the comfort that we have, that I know that this place here is not nothing compared to what God has prepared for us. And so many of us think that this is it. And they fear that I'm going to be missing something if I serve Christ. And let me tell you, you're not. Well, you are, I guess. Because you're missing something much, much greater. Because God says, "I have prepared a place for you." And what we read is something I think none of us can completely understand at all. It's much greater than we can ever imagine. A place that really is peaceful. A place that there is no pain. There is no sorrow. There is no suffering. There is no fighting. There is no arguments. It's a perfect world. That's what God promised us, right? A lot of people think we live in a Barney world here. Jelly beans and gumdrops. Rainbows and jelly beans and gumdrops. Remember that song? Madison used to love that song. I didn't like Barney. Did not like Barney. But let me tell you, that life is a fairy tale land here, isn't it? You know, the thing is, we're not simply passing time. We're watching for our Lord's return by staying alert mentally and self-controlled. And even if Jesus doesn't come in our lifetime, we need to leave the next generation a witness of having been on duty during that lifetime. You know? Our military servicemen, and I was one of those, served in a peacetime. My whole time that I was in the military was all peacetime. But we were always prepared and we were always ready for what could happen. Sure. We trained that way. We were alert. We were ready at any given time that we might get a call and say, we need you. And is that not what Christ is saying the church needs to be? We need to be awake and we need to be on guard and we need to be ready, teaching the next generation after generation after generation to be alert and to be ready and trained up. You know, when Pompeii was destroyed by the eruption of Mount Vesuvius. There you go. There were people everywhere that were buried by the ashes. And some were found in attics. Others were in cellars, trying to find a secure place. And there was one Roman soldier that was found standing at the city gate where he had been placed by the captain, where his hand still clutching his weapon. Can you imagine this? There, while the earth shook beneath him, while the floods of ashes and cinders covered him, he had stood his post, and even after 1,000 years, the impression of his body still standing there, unmoved, giving a testimony to others of his faithfulness. Amen. During his lifetime to guard, he was not going to leave his post.
Mm-hmm. I just want to thank God for being with me this last year of my life.
Amen.
And thank everybody in the church for all the help I received.
Amen. Amen, Belinda. That's good. I love that story, and I hope that in my lifetime, and I hope in your lifetime, that your families can see you with that much faith. When our children look back on our lives, will they see servants of the Lord that have been faithful to be watching, or adults who have been running around waiting for the Lord but passing time doing thousands of different things? Paul ends with this encouragement to one another. He says, build each other up. Build each other up in the most holy faith. Encourage one another. Those on guard duty can encourage and be encouraged. And there's peace among the soldiers when they know that we have each other's backs. Amen. I remember when we used to go, especially like when we were overseas, when I was in Central America, we had to have guards, you know. And you slept better knowing that you had a guard, right? And I'm sure Mr. Leonard, when he was in Vietnam, was happy that there was guys staying up all night and there was guys that he could trust. And if there was somebody he couldn't trust, I bet he didn't sleep so good. I'm glad I've got you guys praying for me. I'm glad I've got you guys in my life.
Amen.
And I hope you're glad that you have each other. Are you still just killing time waiting and not paying attention? Or are you really making the time productive while watching for Jesus' return? One role of the church awaiting Christ's return is that of that sentry that I talked about. That we are to be watchful and on guard. And we are to understand the days in which we live. And a good guard is alert. Mentally and self-controlled. And the church is moving closer to that day of Christ's return. And so we got to be on guard.
Amen.
Church, we got to be on guard. It's my job, I guess you could say, as your pastor to bring attention to these things. To be on guard. To be wide awake. I tell you, when I was younger, when I was in high school, I used to love to duck hunt. And I had a couple of my buddies. We used to get up early before school. And we'd go duck hunting, you know. But we had one buddy that we could go and, you know, we'd get up early in the morning, sometimes 3 o'clock, you know, to get to go where we were headed because we had a longer drive. And I won't mention his name, but Doug, we would go, we'd get to his house and we'd beat on his door. You know, we'd tell him, hey, we're going to be there at 4 o'clock in the morning. You need to be ready. You need to be ready because we would be ready, you know, because we were all in for this. And so we'd get to his house and we'd sit in the driveway and no Doug. So we'd go out of the car and we didn't want to wake his parents up because his parents get mad at us, you know. So we'd go to his bedroom window, we'd beat on his window, you know. And so he was waiting, but in bed most of the time, you know, but waiting for somebody to beat on his window. And sometimes we'd just get tired and leave him. Well, then he'd get mad at us for leaving him, you know. I don't know, that story just came to me this morning because I feel like sometimes we're that way. The church has told people, we've taught each other, we read the scripture, we know. You know, what happens when the Lord comes and are you going to be ready? You going to be ready to go? You going to be ready to go? And I hope that you are. I want to close with a couple of scriptures here. Luke 17, 26 and 33. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, and they married, and they had wives and kids, and they were given in marriage. And until that day, Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot. They ate, and they drank, and they bought, and they sold, and they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so it will be. Even so it will be in that day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down and take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife, she turned back. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. Revelation 3:11 says this, behold, here's the promise, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast. Hold fast to what you have that no one may take your crown. Hear that? Don't let this world take your crown away from you. Revelation 22:7 says this, behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Blessed is he. So I would ask you this morning, I would encourage you to be ready. Most of all, get your relationship together with Christ. Be alert. Be awake. Be excited.
Amen.
About what's happening. Watch. Study and read. These are great times, I'm telling you. These are great times for the church. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. Lord, I preach with an excitement this morning in my heart, in my bones, Lord, that I know that I just can't wait for this day to happen. Lord, I just pray. I've got friends and family that don't have a relationship with you, Lord. And I'm afraid that that day that you appear, they won't be ready. They won't be ready. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today that's not ready, that they make that commitment right now. Lord, help us today. Help us be good encouragers. Help us comfort one another. Help us spur each other along. These are great times, Lord, and we thank you for your blessed hope. And I pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.